This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we progress further in Philippians with Timothy and Epaphroditus. We are the circumcision, a righteousness not my own, straining forward, and our citizenship is in heaven. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth. From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Mark chapter 10. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. What is the first commandment?
You shall have no other gods.
What does this mean?
You should fear God and trust in God above all things.
The close of the commandments. What does God say about all these commandments? What does this mean?
God threatens to punish all the wearing of his commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not do anything against him. But he promises grace to every blessing of all who keep his commandments. Therefore, we should also love and trust in him and gladly do what he commands.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's recite the first commandment again. The first commandment. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean?
You should fear God and trust God always.
It remains a brilliant idea of the dean of the chapel and also seminary administration that we have catechism sermon series 6 times a year to cover all the catechism. And as the first of the series for this academic year, we are given to consider the Ten Commandments, particularly today, the first commandment. Back in the 1520s, when the catechism was considered necessary among the Wittenberg theologians, there was a serious or perhaps even painful concern that there was a severe poverty of the Word of God among both pastors and people. Abundant life in Christ was not enjoyed. The gifts that the Christ was giving were not received in full. Well, this is a very kind way of stating what Luther actually wrote in the Large Catechism. He wrote, the pastors were despising their office of the holy ministry, being lazy and considering only how to fill their bellies. How about Small Catechism? He says even more harshly, the pastors live as simple cattle or irrational pigs. Well, I hope our seminary community is better than what Dr. Luther described. But it is good to remember that both Catechism and the Book of Concord are fully aware of the fact that the life of any Christian is far from perfect. We daily struggle with sin. The attack keeps coming from the devil, the world, and of course, our sinful flesh. Such a concern of our confessions repeats what the Word of God says about our baptismal life. In our gospel lesson, we encounter a man, a ruler, perhaps he was a disciple, but with some reservation. He seems to have scored well by the Ten Commandments. All these commandments I have kept from my youth, he said. But looking at him, Jesus loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Jesus didn't put down the young man's good and helpful life. He's close, just like the man described by Pastor Roger Peters yesterday in a fine and wonderful sermon. Maybe this man is closer. Jesus longed for this young ruler not to stop short of the discipleship. For this reason, Jesus evoked the Shema that this man knew so well by asking, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. Udais agathos e me hais ha theos. The Shema and the first commandment correspond. Please pay careful attention, Israel. The Lord who revealed himself at Sinai through the Ten Commandments is our God, he alone, and no one else. The Shema of Deuteronomy 6 may not be turned into a statement of the nature of God as one. Instead of a metaphysical idea that is associated with Neoplatonism, the Shema is concerned about the loyalty of Israelite to God by refusing to permit them to direct only part of their love to God. The next verse continues, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. These are the four ways of simply saying all of you, without reservation. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. The first commandment, therefore, calls for faith. What do you really love? What do you really trust? What is shaping your thinking and behavior? What is influencing your Lutheran theology? Whenever your hearts are not set on the Lord, we will find the rest of the Ten Commandments burdensome, and we'll break them whenever they conflict with what we have put in our hearts in the place of God. How do you diagnose yourself this morning in light of this first commandment? Jesus pointed out to the young ruler that the problem that he had was his misunderstanding of the law, which also corresponds to his misunderstanding of the doctrine of free will and the doctrine of original sin. Those points were exactly the issues that Dr. Luther faced in drafting his catechisms. You see, the Ten Commandments had no place in the early catechetical tradition in the early church. It was first introduced to the tradition only in the 13th century as an aid to make confessions. The rhythm of Christian life in the pre-Reformation time was driven by the sacrament of penance, in a movement of contrition, confession, and satisfaction. Man can believe in God by his natural and spiritual power, the free will, so the creed was placed as the first one in the catechism in the medieval time. But man is anxious about the wrath of God and his judgment, so the going through of contrition, confession, and work of satisfaction were assisted by the teaching of the Ten Commandments, along with the contemplation of the Passion of Christ and hearing of the Mass. Luther knew that our problem goes deeper than being disobedient to the law and regulations. We don't only have problems that can be fixed by our obedience. Our problems go deeper, because we are the problems. Then why did God give the law, knowing that we cannot fulfill it? Here comes the purpose of the Ten Commandments. They are not given to assist our doing of the law. They are given so that we can understand our condition before God as sinners in need of our Savior. When you have a terminal disease, you do not have to be yelled at by the physician. A physician simply needs to tell it, even with compassion. Luther changed the order of the first three chief parts of the catechism. Our catechism begins with the Ten Commandments to diagnose our sinfulness that our reason cannot understand. Our catechism does this to prepare us to appreciate the work of Christ on the cross and the fruit of the cross delivered through the word and sacraments. Luther's Ten Commandments hymns that we will be singing after this one, that he wrote in 1524, does it beautifully. This is these are the holy Ten Commandments, die sind die heilige zehn Gebote. After going through each of the Ten Commandments, the second last stanza declares the purpose of why God gave the Ten Commandments. You have this law to see there, in that you have not been free from sin. The original German is clearer. God these commandments gave, therein to show you, child of man, your sin. And then the hymn concludes with the proclamation of the gospel, the last stanza, as original German puts it, help us, Lord Jesus Christ, for we a mediator have in you. Our own work is hopeless thing. It is wrath alone it can bring. Kyrie eleis. Thank God that Jesus is concerned about each of us this morning. Jesus, just like he dealt with this young ruler, he wants us to understand our condition, our sinfulness, so that we may hear with gladness when Lord says, paraphrasing the Large Catechism, let me alone be your God. I myself will give you what you need and help you out in every danger. So the question for us this morning is, do you recognize that you also lack one thing? If you understand this, you have the Lord's blessings. What a blessing it is that He alone is our God, the giver of all good things in your life out of Calvary the cross. Are you such a Christian? Yes, you are, because you are baptized into his name, the Lord Jesus. No one is good but this Jesus alone. Amen.
Zachary Johnson, as he undergoes surgery. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel, and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those who work is difficult or dangerous, for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Mark, father of seminarian Zachary Johnson, that God would bless and keep him as he undergoes surgery. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these words, for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus Christ, our support and defense in every need, continue to preserve your church in safety, govern her by your goodness, and bless her with your peace. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.